Etanayam, Nikki Yasam Hilo, Nikki Machuptamaidu. Hello, everyone. My name is Hilo, and I'm Machuptamaidu. We acknowledge and are mindful that Chico State stands on lands that were originally occupied by the first people of this area, the Machupta, and we recognize their distinctive spiritual relationship with this land and the waters that run through campus. We are humbled that our campus resides upon sacred lands that have sustained the Machupta people for centuries and continue to do so today.
Welcome back to our podcast, First Gen, One of Many. Super excited for you all listeners to be joining us today to learn a little bit more about our topic of the day, which we'll go over in a little bit. But first and foremost, again, we are First Generation, One of Many. Our mission is to create an archive of discussions with and about first generation student experiences in and out of the classroom. We hope to continue raising awareness and understanding, provide voice for students and alum, as well as present resources for faculty, staff, and students working for and collaborating with first-generation students. So super excited to be back, but of course, I do not do this podcast by myself. I have my wonderful co-host with me, Joshua Whittinghill.
Hi, Teresa. Thanks for being here again. It is always fun. If anyone's been listening, you may have heard we've been on a roll of getting these scheduled and recording, and it's been fun. Teresa and I have been able to see each other and do two or three or more of these than we normally would. So it's been great, and it is always fun to see you.
Yes, I'm excited. It's been super cool meeting everybody. But
yeah, that's definitely one part of it. The guests that come in have been great to get to know a little bit more. Even those that we kind of know a little bit about or think we know quite a bit about, we still get to learn more and more each time. So let's get right into our quotes for the day. We have three of them. They're all pretty short and to the point. The first one comes from Jennifer Betts. Family isn't designed by genes. It's love that makes families whole. I know that rings true for me, for Teresa, and for our guests from talking with them and hearing from them a little bit before the podcast. Our second quote comes from Desmond Tutu. You don't choose your family. They are God's gift to you, as you are to them. Nice reminder, despite everything going on for us in our nation and in our local communities and personally in families, it's a nice reminder of how important it can be, and looking at living in the day and appreciating what we can have and the relationships we get to have with family, depending on how you define that. So the last one comes from the ever famous Anonymous. Food is the ingredient that binds us together. That's definitely one thing I know I've enjoyed a little bit more than usual is being home and eating quite a bit of good food. So
yeah, especially getting over the holidays.
Yes, the holidays for sure. And then the idea of leftovers is nice because for the most part they don't last. That's been good too. They don't go bad, you know, like in before remote learning and working at home, a lot of leftovers would end up not getting finished sometimes, but that's good. So our episode, if you didn't pick up on it from the quotes, today will be about family, food, and possibly homesickness. But to help us, we are joined by two guests. First is Aralia Ramirez. Hi, Aralia.
Hey, Josh. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for being here. It's great to see you.
Same. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So Aralia is the daughter of immigrants and a first-generation college student who was born and raised in Chico, California. She attended Chico State, where she earned her bachelor's in sociology. At Chico State, she worked for the Educational Opportunity Program as a student, which motivated her to continue her education to learn more about how to better support first-generation, low-income, and students of color during their time in college. After graduating, She ventured to the University of Iowa, where she earned her master's in higher education and student affairs. Currently, she is working as the coordinator for the CSU Chico First Year Experience Program. Drumroll. All right. Thank you, Auralia, again for being here. And it is great work you're doing in the what you've been in your role now for about 3 months?
Since September.
Okay, so almost 4 months.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, welcome. Welcome again.
Thank you.
Awesome. So super excited to have you, Auralia. Next, we're joined by our second guest of the episode. So thank you to Pretoria Riffles, who's here with us today. So hello, Pete. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for joining us today. Super excited to have you on here and hear from you a bit more. But a little bit about our guest. So she goes by her nickname, Pete, and is entering her final stretch at Chico State. She is a kinesiology with a minor in adapted physical education and plans one day to open her own yoga studio to help others during their spiritual healing journey. In her spare time, Pete loves watching movies, eating good food, and going on adventures. So you're literally perfect for this episode today and can't wait to hear a little bit more about your experiences.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So let's get started. I'm dying to know more about you both. And so let's start off by kind of the maybe all-encompassing question is, how do you both define family?
Well, family, of course, like, you know, like it definitely like has different definitions for certain people. I feel like for me personally, I define family as, you know, like blood is not thicker than water. I feel like for me personally, I don't think that that definitely resonates with me. I think family is like, you know, people who come into your life, you know, for as far as like, you know, helping you in your journey, your healing process and your growing process, of course. I think family is also like, you know, those who support you, not only like, you know, through your mental, emotional and a physical state, but also, you know, just other things. So like uplifting you and like just kind of being there for you, like, you know, as like a shoulder to cry on or somebody like a listening ear. And just like, honestly, it could be family, friends. It could be like, you know, acquaintances too. So I feel like family can definitely range very broadly for me.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree most. I started looking at this question specifically, and I've been having like such a hard time to like really like define it. Because it obviously means different things to different people, but because you have the family that you're like born into, and then you have the family that you create based on like, you know, your journey through life. And so for me, when I tried to narrow it down, I thought of like four words. And for me, it was family means that there's an element of trust and there's an element of love and honesty. But the biggest part of it, the other word, the biggest part for me is the accountability piece. And I've had some family that I was like born into that I've been able to be honest with and got really get to know really well, to hold each other accountable and to be there for each other. But I also have family that I've met like in grad school who are those same people for me. And it's funny because I posted something on my Instagram about my brother, Steve, who I met in Iowa. And I had another friend was like, wait, you have a brother named Steve? And I'm like, well, he's not like my real brother, but like he's family because of like experience, shared experiences that we've had and like that relationship that I've built with them. So yeah, this question, I think it's something that I've started to think about and I'll continue to think about. And I think it's okay for like that definition to grow and evolve as we grow and evolve too.
Yeah. And it's, for me, it's been a great pleasure. And over the years to actually get to meet Auralia and Pete, both as they came in to college, their first year. And we've had a number of great conversations around those things and of trust, honesty, accountability, all those sort of things. And we've learned from each other. And I know I call them family for me. And there is people talk a lot about it like on the campus about the offices they work in maybe and say, hey, we're family. But the things that Auralia mentioned really do kind of cement that for us. And it's been great because I've learned a lot, I know personally, from you two to be able to do better each day and to move forward and really be accountable, because you two have definitely asked me some tough questions over the times about work, about personal life, about those kind of things. And what Araya said, we want to go ahead and share a little music in the background just to hear what she's talking about. Really to show what Araya's talking about, so we can hear that. It's Natalie Merchant, Kind and Generous. Enjoy it. I think, as you can hear, that song really does bring it home. Anybody who might have skipped this far in the episode for some reason might think we're at the end of the episode, but we're just getting started. So you shared some great insights on what your definition of family means for you, but what does family mean to you more on a deeper level? So either one of you. Maybe Araya, start this one out.
Yeah, I think, so my answer to that question ties into the original one where I was just recently talking to a couple of my uncles about this, about how like accountability is so important, especially now, like what's happening with COVID, for example, and like being able to have difficult conversations about things happening in the world, even though, you know, we may differ opinions, to like hold each other accountable to doing the right thing, especially during tough times, like during this pandemic. And so for me, like, I really value like that part of family, to be able to have those open and honest conversations, even when they're uncomfortable. And also being able to support each other through difficult times. Cause I think in my situation, like I grew up very close to my family, the family I was born into. And so they've seen me grow up and I've been around them for a long time. So they know me to a different extent, on a different level. So yeah, like family to me means to be able to have those honest conversations and to be able to be there for each other when things get tough, and even through the good times too. And I'll pass it on to Pete.
I actually definitely agree, you know, as far as like the accountability part for family, but I do think like for me, like family means like acceptance. I think like that's like a really big part, at least like for me, because like, you know, my like relationship with my family has kind of changed, like, since I got to college. Of course, like, you know, I've been open to, you know, different things, like, learning more about myself, expanding my knowledge and my education as far as, like, you know, me taking different classes and me meeting different people. I feel like, my personality, like, you know, me as a person have kind of definitely, like, you know, grown since I was in high school and middle school and all that. So, and, you know, also, like, me being able to kind of, like, you know, pay my own bills, like, that has definitely, like, you know, I've grown a lot since, being around my family. And I feel like, so, you know, accepting the fact that, you know, I may see things differently, and you know, of course, like, you know, I may believe things differently, and of course, like, you know, as far as going about things differently too, but I think acceptance is a really big part in like what family means to me, because I feel like, you know, if I am coming to you with, you know, something that I feel like, you know, I'm passionate about, and like I feel like, you know, I disagree with how you accepted it or how you went about it, you know, I always say, like, you know, like, it could have two reactions, you know, either you're going to accept it and, you know, grow from it, and, you know, like, work on, you know, trying to be a better support system, or, you know, you're going to, like, you know, badger that person and be like, no, like, you know, you're wrong. And like, you know, I believe in this and like this and that. And so I feel like I definitely had entered a situation where me and my dad got into a conversation and we didn't necessarily, you know, kind of see eye to eye, but like he reacted differently than I thought he was going to be. Like, I thought he's going to, you know, be more understanding, but like, I can see like, you know, with the generational gap we have, like, it's just like some things aren't always gonna, you know, be on the same level. So I think acceptance is definitely a big part in family and you understanding that that person is going to be that person and, you know, kind of working with that person, you know, or like, you know, trying to figure out a better way to kind of main relationship if it's not always, you know, roses and lollipops.
Yeah, exactly. And there's different dynamics that happen within, you know, not only our definitions, but within our families and who we consider to be a part of our family. And I know for me, at least, when I think about family, I think about my nuclear family, but I also go right away and think about the family I created when I lived in San Francisco and kind of who I considered there as my family. And I think about, you know, being now back in Chico, things I miss doing with them and kind of being like, oh, I wish, and even with COVID, like I wish we could go out and do this, or I wish we could go to our favorite place and hang out and go eat. And I feel like that's something we would do all the time is, you know, once you start talking to someone and developing that friendship that then turns into that stronger bond where you consider them that family member, like that whole time has transitioned over certain moments and memories that we have. And a lot of the memories I have for myself personally are going out and trying out new places to go eat, coffee shops, you know, going on hikes and things like that. So it kind of ties us all in together. And when I think about that, to see if you all have some similar experiences like that. And so if so, what kind of relationship does food play within your family dynamic?
I can take the lead on this one. So food, I feel like, well, you know, okay, like, so like in my bio, so like, you know, food is definitely a big part in like what I do. Like, I do like love to go and try different places. I think food is honestly like I'm gonna say a peacemaker in my family. I feel like, you know, like we can always, you know, go get some sushi, you know, or go to try, you know, try new restaurants and like be able to sit down and like coexist even if we aren't on the same page. So I think like food is definitely like a gateway to like us, you know, like, you know, getting over our stubbornness, you know, and being able to kind of have a conversation and come together as one. And, you know, then I feel like, you know, kind of brings up a conversation of like, you know, like, do you like this food? Like, you know, what don't you like about it? Like kind of getting out of like that, that funk that we were in. So I feel like it's definitely a peacemaker within my family and a chance for us to kind of get like, come together as one and like not like let whatever, you know, is going on within society or the outside world, like affect us, so.
Right, yeah, kind of like a conversation starter.
Yeah, and along the similar lines, one like thing that my family does consistently every year is make tamales on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And my family is huge. Like there's probably like 80 people like in this area, like that all get together for Christmas, who are part of my family. But it's that experience of like making those like tamales together in the morning, like before Christmas, that not only like brings us back together, but to get caught up on like what is going on in each other's lives. But I absolutely hate tamales, and that may like shock some people who are listening right now. I always have, like since I was younger, we have it every year, and I always advocate for like a different meal option. They're like, no, it's tradition. Like we're gonna like, that's just, it is what it is. So anyways, like for me, I still love going and helping because of the process and like the tradition to be with family during that time. In the morning. And the other thing that stands out to me too is not necessarily like a food item, but like coffee has been a huge part of my family. And it's probably the reason why I have a coffee addiction, but coffee ever since I was little, my grandparents would come over, we would talk over coffee, or my aunts and uncles would come over. There would always be coffee at like 8 p.m., you know? So like, and I always thought that was normal until like I started, you know, after I went to college and like meeting other people, and they're like, why are you drinking coffee? It's like 8 p.m. And I'm like, well, it's like a comfort thing. And so those are like two things that I've noticed from like my family and what we do to kind of connect and have conversation over either like the process of making something or over coffee too.
Oh gosh, you made me laugh a few times there. Thank you. A couple of things that came to my mind real fast I wanted to share was, it's beautiful, the tamale part. So I have to ask though, is it the masa? Is it the
why I don't like it?
Or is it all of it just in general?
So the questions I usually get is like, what part of it don't I like? And I'm sorry if people unsubscribe because I just like told them I don't like the masa. But it's the masa part for me. Uh-oh. But I still like tortillas. Like I'll say tortillas. So it's just like the flavor of the masa and the tamale. I can't.
Yeah, it's funny. The masa is the part I could just eat all day and skip the inside. Doesn't matter. The filling doesn't matter. I could just eat masa all day.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Huh? Coffee. Gosh. My energy level is usually pretty high most of the time, and I'm energetic, and I, you know, talk loud at times, and just I'm excited, and people think I'm just this coffee fiend, and like, hey, let's get coffee, and I can count the number of cups I've had in my entire life on one hand.
How many?
5, exactly.
Wow.
And I remember them all because they have very specific moments in time when I did them, so quick stories. One of them was when I first started working, on campus and in the educational opportunity program. I was tired from being up late. I'm kind of a night owl in general also. So I would think I would need coffee, but I don't. I just kind of wake up and go. And I went with someone to get coffee. I was like, oh, sure, I'll try it. Why not? And so they ordered their drink and I just said, I'll try that. That's great. And I didn't realize until afterwards that they had 4 shots of espresso in their drink. And so I drank it. And this was like 8, 9:30 in the morning or so. And I was just ready to go all day until 2 o'clock the next morning. I didn't even feel tired yet. It was just crazy. So
yeah,
that was the last time I drank coffee.
Wow.
So 20 years ago was the last time. But the funny part of it is I have this very comforting connection and relationship with coffee because over the last, say, 10 or 11 years, I make coffee for my wife at home, for my partner. I make 10 cups of coffee every night for her. So 365 days a year is about 3,650 cups of coffee over 10 years. And I've never even tasted it.
Wow.
I just make it.
So, you trust that you know the right combination.
Yeah. And it's that ritual part though of making it makes me feel connected. And then she really appreciates getting the coffee in the morning and is always telling me how great it is. And then once in a while, she'll say, oh, that one was a little bit strong last night.
Yeah.
And then the fun part is for our family and the connection to it is about a year ago or so, I started having both of our kids join in. So we'll take turns making coffee now. And so they're on barista duty some nights too. And they make wonderful coffee and they don't taste it either. So,
I have 4 different coffee maker, 3 different coffee like devices, like a regular coffee pot, an iced coffee maker, and a French press.
That's in there for sure.
Actually, you know, it's funny that Teresa is the one who taught me how to make coffee in the office last year.
Wow.
For the first time. And then I had a coffee maker for Christmas, and I'm like, now me and my roommates make it all the time. And I'm like, I think we put this much. Like, I kind of just eyed it out, but like, Teresa is the one who actually taught me how to make coffee. Yeah.
I remember that in the break room. Before that, I loved drinking coffee, but I would always just get it. Like, I would never make it myself. Or if I did, it's just like the Keurig. You just throw in the pod and it's done. So when you asked me, I had to literally just shortly learned how to do it myself. Like when you actually measure out the coffee grounds and you put it in the filters, I was like, oh, yes, I know how to do it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, God. If you ever want to talk about coffee, any like how to make it, any different coffee beans, I'm down. Like, let me...
Yeah, definitely conversating about that after this.
Oh gosh, yeah. See, so and so us as family, because I know we all have connected. Like we talk about the definition of family, and we are all part of each other's family because we've had so many different interactions on for each of us at different times for different reasons. And I know Pete just mentioned her roommates, and I know one of the great things I've seen with Pete is living in Chico away from her family she's born into and that part of family that she really has made some great family here in town. And she has shared over the years definitely that they have supported her and nurtured her through many different situations, both positive and negative. So that's been great to see. For sure.
It's funny because like I stay with my best friends. And so like, you know, you always like enter college and you're like, yeah, like, you know, like don't stay with your friends. Like, you know, that's going to be like, that's going to turn out bad. And I'm like, really? I'm like, no, like for some reason, like me and my best friends work. Like, you know, we can get up and yell at each other about like, you hungry? Okay, great. Like, so.
Yeah. And so we had another question.
Weird to do it, tell you that I lived in college for my entire life.
Really?
Oh, I think we overlapped.
No, nope, that's fine. That's great. And so we did have another question, but we kind of touched on it already. But if you wanted to add to it, it was, do any meals or rituals stand out to you? We heard about tamales standing out for different reasons, but anything else stand out? Because that's a big part as human beings, right? The act, the ritual of things is the important part sometimes, because it could be just like you said, the tamale part is great, you don't eat them, but you still find comfort and this nurturing love and just connection. So any other standout that you want to add at all by chance? It doesn't have to be any. I've got a whole list of some, but hey.
Well, actually, like, you know, like you were saying earlier, like, you know, about like, you know, like you come together to make like tamales, like, you know, with your family. Like, I think that's like gumbo for my family. I feel like, you know, like, and it's funny because, you know, like you're lucky if you get gumbo maybe twice or three times a year. Like we, like my grandma and only make it like during the holidays, you know, entering the new year, you know, with like a fresh start. And so like when I hear people who be like, oh yeah, I don't like gumbo, like that's like shrimp water. I'm like, the disrespect, like on so many... so many levels. So like, you know, like my grandma, like everybody has like the different, like, you know, like ways and like making it, like my grandma kind of buys the base, but like, just like, you know, come together to my grandma's house, you know, we all like, you know, enjoying like, you know, gumbo and like gumbo, like if you don't know, like, it's like, they have like so many different like seafood like items, like, you know, like shrimp, crab, you know, you have sausage and chicken, and it's kind of like a big stew, but you put it over rice or depending on, you know, like how you eat it. But, yeah, like we come together and like we kind of just like all like pile up in the living room and watch a movie together. But like we all have like, you know, our bowls and our trays and like, you know, like our crackers and stuff like that on the side. So like that is definitely like a ritual we kind of come together for the new year to kind of enter the new year on a different tradition. And then also is black eyed peas for some reason. I guess like it means like good luck, you know. So like when I used to go to Texas to visit my family, like my aunt would always be like, yeah, you know, like make sure, you know, you get you a scoop of black eyed peas, you know, like to like enter the new year with some good luck. And I'm like, black eyed peas are nasty. Like, I don't like them. Like, oh. It's supposed to be good luck. So
I'm with you though. I'm with you, Pete. You made my stomach cringe when you said black eyed peas, because the music is great. That's great, right? That's wonderful. But I cringed because I haven't eaten black eyed peas probably for about 43 or 44 years. When I used to walk home, that ages me a little bit, but I would walk home from kindergarten and first grade and I could smell black eyed peas coming from my house. And I would turn around and go to the neighbor's house and hang out for a little bit and get snacks. So I'd be filled up on food so I didn't have to eat the black eyed peas.
Oh my gosh. I've never tasted them. So I would have no knowledge of that.
Like there's a certain way of making them, but just like, I just feel like I just never, like, I've never liked the black eyed peas or like stuffing or peas, like just peas in general. Like those are some items I just would never eat.
Yeah.
Oh God.
All right. Well, yeah. So definitely, I mean, I was thinking about that too. And I feel like in terms of talking about the ritual portion is kind of hard because I'm thinking, well, you know, as, maybe as a family, we don't have very many rituals besides when the holidays come about and we all get together to cook the food. But I feel like at least for me personally, I have a little ritual every morning where I will go get my coffee every morning. But if I don't, even on weekends, and if I don't do that, I literally feel like my day hasn't started off right, or like I just feel like I'm not awake. So I feel like that little ritual kind of keeps me going every day. And it's now something that I have my mom hooked on. So she, but I'm sure she's happy about that. So I know some of you, you both have had experience.
Sorry, Teresa, here we go.
Oh, you're fine.
And the bass keeps running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and in this context, there's no disrespect.
Okay. So we don't, yeah, we don't want to disrespect Black Eyed Peas. There you go.
Yeah, shout out to them. So in terms of your, both of your guys' experience and not being away from home for a certain amount of time, how has that felt for you, being, you know, the feeling of homesickness, and how have you felt that impact you during your, whether it's your educational journey or in your personal life? Whoever's ready.
Yeah. I can go first on this one. So I did my undergrad at Chico State, and I was raised here. So it wasn't until I went to Iowa that I started feeling homesick. And I would actually do these presentations for first year students at Iowa, part of my grad program, on like homesickness too. And it was like through those presentations for them that I actually realized, like, oh shoot, like what I've been feeling is homesickness. And it's kind of like grief a little bit, like, because everything that you're used to, you know, you moved away from that. And so you're getting to know your surroundings more and building those relationships in that community more and wherever you're at. So for me, that was in Iowa City. But during this time, like, right before I came back to Chico State, I was in North Carolina. And when the pandemic started, I thought a lot about my family, and I thought a lot about like how I was feeling still homesick. I don't think it's something for me that ever went away. It's just like how I learned to cope with it. And so part of the reason why I moved back was because I realized, like, with the pandemic and everything that is happening in our country, that I wanted to be closer to my mom, my siblings, and like that family. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so for me, it's had a huge, huge impact, like in Iowa and in North Carolina, but I was able to in Iowa build that community. And even sometimes being back in Chico, I still feel a little homesick for my community in Iowa, if that makes sense. So like the family that I built in Iowa. And so it's just like a weird feeling that I'm still processing. I'm like, I'm home, but I feel like homesick for like certain parts of the other places that I've lived. So I don't know if any of you have ever felt that, or if you've experienced any of that too.
No, I think it's funny, like when we talk about homesickness, cause like I went on like this trip when I was inside middle school. Like, so my teacher, like my mentor, she took us to Atlanta for the first time to see my dream college, which was Spelman. So like we went to Atlanta for like a week or so, and like all my friends were like crying, and they're like, oh, like, you know, like I miss home. And I was like home, like I was like, man, like this is gonna be my new home, like, you know, when I move. It was just like so funny. So I feel like homesickness like never like really hit me until like maybe like my junior year out here in Chico. Like I only live like an hour and a half away, but like my family has kind of like dispersed like after like my sisters, like I have two sisters in LA, like I have one in Atlanta, like so all my siblings are kind of spread out. So like we're never home all together anymore. So like I feel like I don't get homesick as much because I feel like I did, like I have like made like a foundation in Chico. So like I do, like, you know, when I do go home, like I do like miss my brothers and all them, but like I talk to my family like almost like every week. So I feel like I don't get homesick as often, but I do like, you know, do kind of miss like, you know, like the home cooked meals and like, you know, like the funny memories. But I feel like my family has kind of like distanced, like been like really distanced like recently. But like with the pandemic and everything, like I did start to kind of realize, like, you know, like one life is too short, like, you know, like what if I can't even like, you know, say goodbye to this person, like because I'm not even home anymore. So like I feel like it definitely hit as far as like, you know, cherishing my loved ones and understanding that like life is too precious to, you know, be, you know, having like this like negative, like, you know, if we're arguing, like, you know, okay, I'm gonna get past the argument because like, you know, at the end of the day, I do love you. And so I feel like homesickness is kind of like, it's kind of like a wave for me. It kind of goes up and down every now and then, but yeah, so.
Yeah, no, that all makes sense. And what Aurelia touched on about this idea of grief, in a sense, because as you do new things or you move to new places and have to be away from those that you're familiar with and have those long-term relationships with and that deeper connection, there is the sense of loss that comes with any kind of change that you make. And so then, it, you know, I know for me also, I've gone through all those different stages at different times with feeling homesick. And it wasn't always that I felt connected to the house or to a certain location, but it was the people, of course, in those areas for the most part. I mean, sometimes I wish I could go back to my bedroom in third grade, but hey, that's a whole nother story, right? But yeah, so that's good to hear those things. And it's one of the reasons we really wanted you two to come on today, because we knew you had some good insights and experiences around family that probably listeners have as well that are common. So hopefully it's something that's touching some listeners and helping them to think about their processing of what they're going through during this time as well, because the next question leads right into that. I've had some conversations with students and colleagues, and the idea of homesickness now is taking on maybe a different feel. Can either of you speak to that as far as homesickness, maybe in the sense of that you're at home all the time?
Like sick of home?
Could be that.
That's what some people have said. It's like this homesickness of like, how do I get away from here? And I don't want to feel guilty about it. Mm-hmm. But there is, I just need that space sometimes, because it used to be built into many people's lives to leave their house and have that time either alone or with other people outside the family. So can either of you share about that, how that's been for you?
I would say, oh, sorry, go ahead.
You go. I was trying to take time.
I would
we're,
say
we're nothing me, but polite on this show. We're nothing but polite on the show. Go ahead.
I've experienced kind of like the opposite. Like now when I think back on like, you know, when my friends or whatever, I had the opportunity to go here or go there, and I was kind of like, nah, like I don't feel like going. I'd rather stay home and like watch a movie. And now when I think back at those moments, I'm like, oh, I should have gone. Like, little do I know that I'm sick of being home. And I like ran out of all movies to watch because I just binged everything. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's a different transition, but I think what it has made me, like what I take away from it, is just being like, hopefully in the future, you know, when that time comes, a little bit more kind of like living in the moment type of thing. And being, if I have an opportunity to go somewhere, do something, even if I'm like too cold or too tired, to like try and push myself to do it instead of kind of staying home, because at least for me, I have the ability to stay home whenever. So it's more putting myself out there.
No, I completely agree. Like, I think like I was talking to like one of my really good friends the other day, and like we were like talking because like she was like, yeah, you know, like I'm saving all this money up, you know, for like, you know, to move out, like, you know, to do this and that. Like, I kind of miss out on like the trips, you know, in between, like, because like you trying to like save money and like, you know, you're trying to like plan for the future. But I think like the pandemic and everything has definitely showed like, you know, for me to like be a little more grateful as far as like, you know, and like take advantage, like Teresa was saying, like, you know, take advantage of like those situations and like those times, because like before, like I wasn't a homebody, but like I would definitely like, you know, I'll go to the movies and all that too, but like, I'll be like, nah, like I'm gonna stay in the house like this weekend, like I'm fine. Like, but staying, like I feel like because like I'm in Chico and I'm at my own spot, like I can kind of tolerate being in the house more. Like it's not as bad as I thought it was gonna be. It is kind of like, you know, irritating, like going from like my meetings from my room to the living room back and forth. Like that's like tiring after a while. Like I lose my mind. But you know, like when I go back home and visit my mom, like she's like, yeah, like I'm gonna lose my mind. You know, I'm in the house with your dad and your brothers. Like she like, so it's like, I feel like it's like definitely a different like home, like I'm sick of home, like situation. Like if I was back at home in the house, I'd be like, yeah, like I gotta get out. Like I can't be in this house for too long because like there's so much going on. But like being in Chico and like kind of like having like me and my roommates, like we're all kind of like doing like different things, like kind of different time periods. Like I feel like it's still like manageable. So I'm technically like, I'm not losing my mind like too bad, but I still do like try to like get at the house more and try to take advantage of that.
Yeah. And for me, I lived at home, like I mentioned earlier, in undergrad, but Then I was in Iowa for 2 years and in North Carolina for like a year and a half. And then I moved back in with my mom and my little sister. And never in my life did I think that my mom and I would essentially be coworkers, because she worked from home down the hall from me. And so I lived with them for about 2 months-ish. And I realized for myself, after living alone, essentially in different states, you learn to live by yourself. And moving back in, like, to your childhood home can bring up a lot of different emotions and feelings and dynamics. And I'm lucky and super privileged to be able to say, you know, for me and like my mental health and like where I'm at in my career, like, I'm going to choose to like rent an apartment. So I literally live 3 minutes from my mom. But I do have my own apartment now. And like, not everyone can do that. And I feel really, really privileged to be able to do that. But yeah, so like a lot of people, a lot of students, people who aren't students, like have moved back in like to their childhood homes too, which like is a whole nother podcast.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. on a side note, if you'd like to order any coffee, you can go by 555 Coffee Lane in Chico, California, and Aurelia will serve you up.
That is not my real address.
if you lived on Coffee Lane, that would be very serendipitous for you, wouldn't it?
That would be. I'm going to search for a house on Coffee Lane.
Coffee Lane.
Let me know if there's a Coffee Lane.
Yeah. All right. Well, unfortunately, again, we are coming to the end of our episode. But before we do, we're going to share any recommendations today that the listeners can benefit from. Araya, do you have any recommendations to share today?
Yeah, so I have a couple. So one, another podcast that I started listening to a lot is called Latinos Who Lunch. And it is two Latino men who like host this podcast and talk about different topics about what's happening in the world. But they do have some episodes where they talk about food, and they'll talk about food throughout those episodes, like throughout a lot of the episodes too. And they talk about culture, like the Latinx culture in relation to food too. And so that's a pretty interesting podcast if you're interested. Another thing that's more related to the element of like homesickness that we were speaking about, something that really helped me during the time that I lived away from home and even now, is Brené Brown's work on vulnerability and courage. And so she has a podcast. If you're listening to this podcast and you look like more podcasts to listen to, it's called Unlocking Us. And I believe she has another one that's called Dare to Lead. So she studies vulnerability and courage and leadership. And so it was a great way to just reflect on what's happening. And her book, Dare to Lead, is also really great. So those would be just a couple of recommendations of things that I've listened to that have been nice to listen and reflect on.
Thank you very much. And as always, the recommendations from today will be in the show notes and on the website as well. That's firstgenoneofmany.com. You can check it out there. Pete, what do you have for us today?
I was trying to think of like some like in regards to food, because like I do watch a lot of food networks, but two podcasts that I do listen to is one is called The Goddess Confessions, and it's on Spotify I listen to. And so she kind of just goes into like different like affirmation chants you can do, different like spiritual healing journey that she that helps her as far as personally, and like how to kind of like go through those steps like with you, like within you. And I thought that one was pretty cool. And then another one was called The You Effect. And it's kind of just talking about like your childhood traumas, you know, stuff like how to get past those. Of course, like, you know, different affirmations. I'm really into affirmations recently. So if you are looking for some different affirmation podcasts, those are two of the great ones that I like. And so she also talks about like, you know, going back and like changing like, you know, bad habits and like how to form new ones. And of course, like how to juggle, like, you know, like school and like, you know, life and education and all that. So
those are great. And I was kind of sure when you had recommendations coming, one of them had to be connected to Tupac.
Okay, I was gonna say the Tupac poetry book, but I didn't want to say it. So.
Yeah. Hey, no, I just doing enough with you, and you've been part of some research I was able to do on music and social emotional learning, and I know that Tupac really it resonates with many many decisions you make and things you do in your life. So go ahead, you said Tupac book of poetry.
Yes, and he also had a documentary. On, I believe, Prime, that he kind of, it's an old documentary, but it kind of goes in, like, you know, like, his way of thinking, like, his dissection of, like, society when he was in prison, and then there's also Meek Mill's documentary that I also watched on Amazon Prime. That was pretty good.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you. Teresa, do you have any recommendations today for us?
Yes. So I do a really quick one. So I feel like a lot of the times, so self-help or self-care has been a huge thing, right? And like, what does that even mean? How do you even get started on it? And I feel like I started asking myself that question, especially, you know, with a bunch of like massive changes in my life recently. And so I was kind of like, you know, I'm going to look into this self-help, self-care thing, but like, how do you even get started? Mm-hmm. And so through some recommendations from some of my friends, I was like, well, what better way than to read a book about how to do just that? So I do, and I finished it and I really liked it. And I felt like even the little time, you know, because I went through it so fast, I felt like in the time span that it took me to read it, I was able to implement a lot of the things within my daily life. And it's like, surprisingly, I had some doubts. That's what I'm saying, surprisingly, because I was a doubter, but I had doubts, but it actually did help me feel a lot more confident and a lot better with myself and in myself. So I definitely recommend if you're kind of at that level where I was, read You Are a Badass. It's called, so the whole title is You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. And so the author is Jen, and I may be pronouncing this wrong, so I'm already going to say disclaimer, but the author is Jen Sincero. And I definitely recommend looking into that book, or if you getting a copy and just reading through it. Easy read, but a lot of useful things you can actually implement in your daily life, and nothing super crazy and existential where you're like, when am I going to get to that point? So that'd be my recommendation.
That's so funny you say that. I was going to recommend it, but I haven't finished reading it. I'm reading it right now. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You're going to love it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I don't really have any recommendation for today. That's quite a bit for the show notes there. Mm-hmm. So I'd say maybe just listen to music. If you're not already listening to music, listen to music. So we have some background music as Teresa takes us out. Thank you both for being here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you both for joining us today and for taking time out of your day to have these conversations with us. Definitely could go on a lot longer, but for the sake of time and for our listeners' time. But yes, again, everything that we recommended and our guests recommended are going to be in the show notes. And thank you all again for joining us. And thank you to the listeners for once again listening to our episode about food, family, and homesickness with the first generation, one of many.
I don't have any recommendations today except for just listen to music. We have some background music as Teresa takes us out for the day. Thank you both for being here.
Yes, thank you to our guests for being here and joining us today and having this conversation with us, taking time out of the day to do so. Again, and thank you to our listeners who tuned in to our episode about family, food, and homesickness. Make sure you catch our next one and have a good day. And thanks for listening to First Generation, One of Many.
Probably have a different union, you know.